Saviour that we have. We're going to have a word of prayer now and we'll commence our message for this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful blessing of being able to gather together as your body, your church, Lord, here together, a local church. We're reaching out into this community and around the world. Lord, what a great honour it is that you've bestowed upon us to be able to do so. Lord, as we come to your word now, Lord, may it challenge us and encourage us at the same time as we look once again, Lord, at what you consider a church to be, and that we experience that as a family together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we're on the camp in April, we didn't record the messages there for the simple reason I wanted it to be just a real family-orientated time where there was no constrictions and we could speak freely and just fellowship together. But a few people got together and started praying and they wanted me to preach one of the messages from there. And well, that's impossible because a lot of times it's only notes and a little bit to say. I like to print all my verses out and use verses because then that way people can't say they're my thoughts. I just give them what the Lord is saying through his word. So I'm going to do my best as we go through this morning. But this is all to do with church unity. And I pray at the beginning, I said not a lot of people understood the true concept of a church. And I hope we've all grown together as we've gone through these messages. But church unity, and it's an essential thing. You know, the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church, and it's an essential gift. By that I mean it's a perfect and pure gift. He's been given to implement the Father's purposes in the church and empower all the members to obey Christ as he leads them on mission in this world for his glory. Now the Spirit, and people may not know this, they may know it, but the Spirit was at work in Christ's life. If you look at Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, the Holy Spirit who was with Jesus is now to be the life of God in his church. And each church is to have Christ as the head, the Holy Spirit as bestowing power to be able to know and do the will and the commands of God in our world. And first thing is life in the body. You know, with Christ as the head of the body, the Holy Spirit is his life in the body. And one of the best pictures we have of that in scriptures is that of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now we're going to have a bit of a look at that chapter. And it says there in verse 3, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And we're told in verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And what we see is that when God makes up the body as it pleases him, and the Holy Spirit enables every member to function where God has placed them to help every other member of the body, that means that God's provision is for us all. It's a vital part of his salvation, and it's the Holy Spirit working in every member for the good of every member. And this is the key to have a healthy body. Everyone must understand that the Spirit was given for the building up of the body. And that's all of it, the whole body. And verse 7 is telling us that the Spirit was given to each person to produce what is beneficial for each other. You see, God places every member in the body. He gives the Holy Spirit to work in each member. And God places Christ as the head of that body or that church to live through them and to accomplish his will, and Christ as head instructs us, and we then seek the well-being of each other. You know, many are in the body though, unfortunately, just to please themselves. They haven't realized that it is God who makes up the church as it pleases him. Many seek their own well-being rather than the well-being of others. They desire what is beneficial to themselves, not for the brother or sister sitting next to them. Listen, there are no unimportant members in the church. Everyone is vital to the plan and purposes of God for this church. Verse 14 of 1 Corinthians says, "For the body is not one member, but many." Verse 24, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked." Now verse 21 and 22 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." Listen, not one pastor, not one deacon, not one leader, no one can directly or indirectly say in word or deed, I don't need you. We are told without reservation in verse 25 that there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another. In other words, no favourites, no pets. God wants us to function equally together. And it is a very rare thing that a church is better off because someone leaves and then they don't care about it. Yes, there are times when their discipline is needed, but discipline should always be given with redemption as the goal. And if God adds a member, he has something in mind for him or her, and that means a new person in the church is very important to the church. And if the church becomes nothing more than a religious organization using the attitudes and the methods of the business world, well, then people can be pushed out, people can be fired, so the church can be more efficient and reach its goals. But that shouldn't be the case. In God's church, it is the living body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Ephesians 5, starting in 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." It goes, "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." What a statement. Every single member is deeply loved by Christ, who's the head of the church. The word of God is being used to bring members to health and life as they function together in the life of the body. And why is that so important? The scripture tells us so Christ can present to himself a glorious church. That's why you just don't come to church for yourself. We're told to come for one another. We're a body, we're a family put together by God. This is what he's doing with our church right now. Now, are we treating the others in our church as Christ treats them? Or are we letting some go and feeling a bit good about it? Now, I've been a pastor for some 25, 26 years, and in that time, I've only ever had to ask two people to leave. Only two. Others have left because of their own accord, because they don't like church discipline. But they weren't asked to go. Others are left because they have doctrinal issues. But God says in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 12, I'll read the end of it again, "God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked." Listen, life in the body is precious to God. Life in the body is significant to Christ as the head. life in the body is maintained by the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a Trinity work. And we are recipients of an incredible life. What an incredible life this is. And you can only find that fully in a local church. You won't find it on your own. You see, church life is special because there is love, there is grace, there is forgiveness that you will not find anywhere else. And when the body is working together as it should, growing towards Christ's likeness, God is honored and the church is blessed. And the question I ask myself, so I'm going to ask you, how precious is that to you? Honestly, that's life in the body. There's also to be unity in the body. And this is absolutely needed in God's plan to reach out and touch the world. You see, God cannot use a church that's not unified. Because unity allows the body to function together as God intended. It ensures that the members are functioning where God has placed them. It is the visible evidence that the members are following Christ as the head, and only the Holy Spirit working in each member can bring that unity into a church. Now in Ephesians 4, where we read from this morning, Paul says he's a prisoner of the Lord. And he beseeches, in other words, he's imploring people to walk worthy of the vocation with which you are called. In other words, to walk in the Christ-likeness in the work and that the Lord wants us to do. And the question we have to ask ourselves, and I don't ask you a question I haven't already asked myself, that'd be a hypocrite. Have you been captivated by the Lord, honestly? Have you been captivated that He is the most important thing, the most essential ingredient in your life, in your marriage, in your family? With all lowliness and meekness, are you surrendered to the plan and purposes God has for you in this church? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now there's no excuse for a believer, because verse 7, you have a look at that, says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You see, we've all been given the grace to live as a family together, to bring honor and glory to God, to be used by Him. And as members of God's church, we're to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. In other words, we've got to be meek. We've got to walk in lowliness. We've got to have long suffering. We've got to forbear with one another in love. And yes, there are prickly people in church. Amen? Come on, you can be honest with me. I don't mind. There can be prickly people, but God loved them, and so should we. You see, this is God's great provision for every member, and that causes a dynamic interaction for the good of the body. And we need to understand the blessing God has put upon this church and the sweet fellowship that we have and the union that we have. It's not in every church, I can tell you that. And if all members are to walk in harmony and union with the Holy Spirit, guess what? They won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, which always, always destroys a church. You know, when a person causes dissension, when a person is about trying to cause division, they have a divisive spirit, without doubt you can count on it that he or she is not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Every member must be filled with the Spirit just as the Lord was, if we want to achieve that unity together that God so desires for us. Listen, church belongs to God He commands that we walk worthy of his calling, not our own. You know, many people take up ministries in a church and they go, yep, this is what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. And after a little while it goes flat and they just drop it and never to it again. Don't say you were talking to God and got God's will, because God doesn't work that way. We need to be at work helping each other so that Christ is honoured in the midst of his church. So what do we do with people who cause division and dissension? Well, Romans 16, 17 tells us, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine you have learned, and avoid them. Why are we to do that? Because the next verse, Romans 16, 18 says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, we do it to protect the unity amongst the body of Christ. Now, Ephesians 5, 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be drunk, not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says for a church to do, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, if our own bodies break down, you know, you might break a leg, for example, the whole body feels the pain. The rest of your body is limited. Limited to what it can do. And the whole body has to wait until that part that's broken is healed so it can resume functioning properly. And patience is needed until the body's whole again. And when a member of the church experiences a great loss, maybe a death or some crisis, the life of the body is affected. If the church body is healthy, what happens? Other members come alongside. They share their faith. They comfort one another. They use their inner strength to build people up. They put their hands in their pockets and help them out financially, until the hurting member is through the pain. And not only does this show unity in the church, what it does, it strengthens the church. No one's been called to go it alone. God has put everyone here in the body for his plan and purposes, and we're to take care of one another. And when a church is actively there for each other, the presence and the power of our living Lord is experienced, and joy becomes the order of the day. But we have to be taught this. There has to be, as one man put it, a strong, relentless teaching of what a church is and what God can do through his church. And brothers and sisters, that's crucial to the unity in a church. We come to power in the body. I was reading an old story the other day, and it teaches a great truth. There was a captain, and he was valiant in battle, very valiant, brave, fierce warrior. And so dominant was this warrior in battle that his sword became well known, and it was feared amongst the enemy. And word about his sword, it became legendary amongst the people. And soon the king of the country, he heard about this infamous sword, and he sent a messenger out to find the sword and bring it back to him, because he said, I've got to see this thing. And when the messenger returned with the sword in hand, he presented it to the king. But the king, he was taken back. He says, I don't understand this. All these stories I've heard about this sword, it's just a plain old sword. Why are people so afraid of this sword? It's common and ordinary, he said. And the messenger who brought it to him replied, King, I brought you the sword and nothing more. If I had bought you the hand that used that sword, you would understand the fear people have. Now, do you and I understand that the hand of God, through the Holy Spirit, wields a Christian's life? That's how it works. Spirit-led, walking in the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, surrendered to the Spirit, and then God is wielding your life. Listen, there's not one stronghold that God cannot bring down through our lives. Not one. And when a church is filled with the Holy Spirit, God can turn that community and the world upside down. And the key, listen carefully, the key is never our own abilities. It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in and through the believer who says, "Lord, I'm yours." And he will then accomplish the will of God in that person's life. Now, a pastor, he had the privilege of serving the Lord in many areas. He said his favorite thing to do was to visit those who were not yet saved and share the good news of Christ with them. And he remembers the day that he was going to visit somebody. And he visited this man, and he put to use all his educational training to debate with a lost person about the existence of God. Now, this pastor had a master's degree in divinity, a PhD major in theology from a major Christian university, and he thought, "Man, I'm going in there. I'm gonna get this guy for sure. I'll overwhelm him. He's lost. I'll give him an argument that he cannot deny. He'll plead with me to be saved by the time I'm finished with him." But the best he got out of that guy was just a blank stare like a statue, because this poor soul didn't have a clue what this man so eloquently was preaching to him. See, the pastor acknowledged the importance of a good education, but he also acknowledged it's never a substitute for the Holy Spirit working through his life. Now, God has put you in this body to serve him, not to serve ourselves. And he has a plan and a purpose for us all, but only for those who are willing to put their hand up and say, "Use me, God, where you want. Not where I want to be used." And as I said before, too many want to do this in a church. That's not God's will. God's will first is you surrender in a church and then let him use you and direct you as he pleases. You see, because the power in the body is the full presence of God at work, accomplishing his own will, not ours. He doesn't release his power to us so we do as we want to do. He gives us the Spirit to accomplish his purposes in our lives and our church. Now, in the Old Testament, he sent his Spirit to enable his servants to accomplish his calling in their lives, and he worked through them. But now, since the death of Christ, his resurrection, he has poured out his Spirit on us all, Acts 2:17. Not just special people who lead the church. The Spirit of God is resident to perform everything the Lord wants to do. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, "Now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly do above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end. Amen." You see, this tells us that it's God who is at work through his power at work in us. And people are searching for the truth They want to know the truth. They're waiting to know our God, but not by a demonstrated power, but by the word. Because Paul reminded us in 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, our church could have all the trimmings of a healthy body, but without the wind of the Spirit, there can be no power. And that brings us to being a functioning body. You see, it is the Holy Spirit who empowers and enables the church to function as a living body of Christ. You see, He brings a heart care for one another. He brings the ability to work together for a common purpose. And each member is joined to the Spirit. Each member is joined to Christ. Each member is joined to each other. And each functions in the body and with the body. And as each part functions where God puts it, the whole body responds to Christ, and the Father's will is accomplished in this world through His people. That's how it works. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:6, we're told, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. Isn't that a good one? Neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So how would we read that today for us? One built a loving relationship with another. Another spoke a witness. Others welcomed and ushered them in when they came to worship. The message was preached. The music was played. Many prayed faithfully. And God gave the increase. And we all rejoiced together. That's how it works. God worked through a whole body where they are all at work where God puts them. And the Holy Spirit then enables each person by working in them to reach out with the gospel, to serve one another. And a major purpose of the Holy Spirit within each of us today, how would I put it, to help the rest of the body to grow into Christ-likeness. That's how it works. Now that means every single member has a vital role to play in God's plan for the church. You know what that means? Every one of must be treated as significant. Everyone's important. No one is less important than the other. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. How do we finish this off? In verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, but now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Now, can you see how important it is for each of us to be involved with each other? I'm not talking about the deep personal things. I'm talking about ministering to one another, sharing with one another, encouraging one another. That's the church that God's put together. He's put you here to help him. He's put her here to help her. And as we are each filled with the Spirit, we then function the way God wants us to, where he has placed us. And his assignment is to help us serve the Lord as we serve each other and that means we maintain the health of the body. Why? Because the Spirit enables every member. Now, there are several things we've got to follow, and we'll finish up very quickly. First, the members in the church are to be honoured. We're to honour each other, hold each other up in honour. Second, we're to have a useful place in the body. So that means we're just not pew warmers. Third, all people in the church, members, should have the opportunity to be consulted on all the major issues and decisions in the church. That's important. Fourth, members are to be included in the work of the church, each functioning from the place where God has put them. Now, I've had people say to me, well, I'm too old to do anything anymore. I don't feel like I can do anything. Well, they contribute in the greatest area of all, and that is prayer. Prayer for the whole church, prayer for the people, prayers for its ministries, prayers for the decisions. And all that we've looked at over these past few weeks won't happen. It has to be done intentionally as the church is obedient to God through His Word. How do we reflect and respond on this? Well, how important is it for every member to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That's a question we should ask ourselves. It's important. Is our church experiencing the necessary power of the Spirit? Well, what's the evidence of that? Are you and I allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and through our lives to build up God's church so that we can impact the community that's around us? Now, are you relying more on your natural abilities than you have the Holy Spirit to work through you? They're questions we've got to answer. Because you just haven't come here for the sake of it. God's brought you here, and He's brought you here for a purpose. And we need to get on our knees before our great God and pray, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the church you have put us in. You have built it. You sustain it. You uphold it. What a blessing it is to come into the house of God. As the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. And Lord, what a wonderful attitude, that what a difference that makes in a church when we are so glad to come and allow you to minister to our hearts, and that we minister to each other's, and that you receive the glory for it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray if there's any here today who do not know you in a personal relationship. They may have thought they've been saved, but the Holy Spirit has touched their heart, that they would not leave here until they settle the most important question they'll ever be asked: where will they spend eternity? And for those of us, Lord, who may now be wondering, what can we do to serve each other? All we can do is just start serving. And you will give us the greatest blessings of all, your presence in our midst. And we will know that we are following your plan and your purpose for our lives individually and as your church. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.